Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one.
So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze, let's love!
All right, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. Time now for the C-Note, Cowboys news of the evening. It's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car, truck, wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. The NFL schedule release is just over 3.5 hours away. Tommy Yarish, DallasCowboys.com, is going to join you for Krusty's Corner coming up here in about 15 minutes or so. We'll get the latest from him. I wonder if the guys in the building have seen schedules yet. Like, I've seen the preseason schedule that's not public, but we're at the Fan. We're a degree of separation further from, you know, inside the star right now. I wonder if Tommy has seen it yet.
I know, has his eyes gotten a glimpse of that?
Yeah.
And he's just having to shut his mouth for the next, whatever, 3 or 4 hours?
I mean, I guess
we'll dig it out of him.
We'll try here coming up at 3:40 or so. Tyrann Mathieu explaining why he predicts Caleb Downs to win Defensive Rookie of the Year. Quote, I think Caleb has a great shot to have 100 tackles, 3 sacks, 3 picks. That's sort of my expectation for him. And you know Jerry's going to roll out the red carpet for him. So, I guess that by that he means Jerry is going to be singing his praises at every turn. Could you imagine Jerry maybe trying to talk networks into giving Caleb Downs more love, writers into giving him more love? I could see that. You know, who was it last week? Skip Bayless said it when Troy Aikman went after the Cowboys that you could expect a phone call to go into Fox with Jerry saying, hey, you're letting your guy impact my brand negatively too much here. Are we partners or are we adversaries or something like that? And I thought that was a very interesting point by Skip Bayless because of the time that he spent at Fox.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I do think it is, I think it's likely in one sense because obviously it makes Jerry look good, makes the Cowboys look good. We drafted that guy. I think there's also going to be a lot of the voters that have been hyping up Caleb Downs now for like 3 years that kind of get to prove themselves right. Hey, I've been telling you since this kid was a freshman in Alabama, he was going to be the man. And now look, yes. I just put in the vote for him to be Defensive Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
And then to what Tyrann Mathieu said, that's kind of what we were talking about last week when we were going through the odds for Defensive Rookie of the Year. And Caleb Downs is like 7th or 8th on the list. So you kind of got a pretty good opportunity to make some money on it. And how you piece that together, how does a safety, you know, he's kind of a hybrid, but a safety kind of player win Rookie of the Year defensively? It's because you're the kind of guy that's doing a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
You're in position, you're making a bunch of tackles, you're getting TFLs, you're knifing in on blitzes and sacking the quarterback a couple of times, get your hands on a couple of footballs, you force a fumble here, you get an interception there. Now all of a sudden you look at the body of work and it's like, okay, he didn't lead the league in anything. It's not, oh my gosh, this was a ton of interceptions or a ton of sacks. It is, he had a buttload of tackles, had a handful of sacks, had a handful of turnovers, played like 100% of the downs.
Yeah.
Let's go.
And the Cowboys' defense got better, I think, is a huge part of it. Can you go?
Great point.
If you make this defense average from giving up a league-worst 31 points per game, you jump to average, you make the playoffs. And then, yeah, you're going to need some splash plays because safeties, they could be in position and make all the tackles and deter the quarterback from throwing it into their area and not get recognized for jack squat.
100%. 100%. And you saw that from Mike Sando when he sat down with us and he's making the case against Darren Woodson for the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
It's like these guys, they just don't care about tackles. Mm-hmm. And to some extent, I get that.
Yeah.
I get that. You can watch Shamar James make 15 tackles versus the Jets.
Yeah.
Go watch the game.
Yeah.
Did Shamar James have a good game?
No.
We're cleaning up after the damage has already been done.
Yeah, you allow the catch 15 yards down the field, you made the tackle. Who cares? Oh, he ran for 15 yards, then you made the tackle. Who cares? It's Jalen Smith racking up a bunch of tackles, but what were the quality of those tackles? So it'll be a nice notch on the belt of Caleb Downs. Oh my gosh, he's got 100 tackles or something. Cool, but that's not getting it done. You got to have some sacks. You got to have some splash turnover type plays. And he's the kind of player, and Parker's going to put him in the type of position to be able to do that.
Yeah, give me some TFLs. Give me a very low, like, missed tackle rate. I'm pretty sure Caleb Downs is going to be able to do that immediately.
Yeah, he's solid.
But, I mean, that would be more picks than he had in any college season. He had two in each. Not horrible. Two picks in a college season is pretty good. You play 14 games, you play 16 games, something like that. But it would be more sacks than he's had in his entire career. So I think Christian Parker would have to have a plan to deploy him better than Ohio State did, or more aggressively.
That'd be a fun, maybe I can do it somewhat on the fly, but that would be a fun thing to look at. Like, how often was he blitzing at Ohio State or at Alabama? Because I do think that'll be something, if you're a nickel kind of player, that's a thing you see.
Yeah.
Those guys are, you're as much of a run defender as you are a pass defender. Mm-hmm. And so I think Parker is going to want to, especially with the Cowboys and how they're going to probably have to try and manufacture the pressure. They don't have the Micah Parsons. It's like, you're the dog. I know you're getting pressure. Christian Parker is going to be like, okay, I got to dial things up here. And that's the thing you love about Caleb Downs. I can put him in coverage. I can put him and make him play behind the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, and as insistent as they were that their edge players can drop, you know, maybe that comes together for you. And I know some people are against great edges or great pressure players dropping, but when it's part of a sophisticated scheme and you have talented defensive backs who can get in there and finish, I absolutely love it. You know, it's just another way of offering that deception to the quarterback. Great stuff from Tommy Yarish, who again is going to join us.
I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter. This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
In about 15 minutes or so, we go to DallasCowboys.com, and this is on Tyler Booker's impact in his rookie year. One of the reasons to feel better about this offense is Tyler Booker year two, Tyler Booker healthy. Can we get those things? On plays where Booker was on the field, Dallas rushing success rate was 43%. When he was off, it dropped 5% to 37.8. Just one player drops it 5%. Cowboys success rate increased when Booker was on the field. Additionally, the Cowboys averaged 4.6 yards per carry when Booker was on, 4.4 when he was off. You talk about moving that line of scrimmage. Defenses stuffed 11.8% of runs with Booker on the field, 16.2% when he was off. You got stuffed 4.5% more often when Tyler Booker was off the field. That is incredible. And they did a great job of running gap schemes behind him. Booker finished his rookie season with 5.9% quarterback pressure and allowed, which was third best among the rookie class behind Tate Rutledge and Gray Zabel. Booker's 5.9% pressure allowed percentage ranked 13th in the NFL among all guards who played 400 or more snaps, and Booker's credited with allowing 6.5 sacks last season. Only he allowed 1.5 sacks when blocking one-on-one, which was also third best among the rookie guard class. And I know last year a lot of the conversation was about, like, why did you take Booker at 12? Can you take a guard at 12? But when it comes to positional value, I'm seeing more and more where it's smoothing out between guard and tackle. And teams are starting to realize that maybe the interior is just as important. And apparently some of the numbers are starting to back this up.
For sure. I mean, we were talking about it in lead up to the Super Bowl. The best teams, what did they have? They had the interior defensive linemen.
Yeah.
The interior defensive linemen are now starting to become a premium position. You're seeing those guys get paid and the way they can affect the quarterback. So then on the flip side, all of a sudden, okay, if we're going to be treating defensive tackles like a premium position, then the guys that have to slow those guys down, inevitably, they become a premium position,
yeah,
right? And so now you're starting to see, and you've seen it sprinkle in, but even this year, I mean, the Dolphins at 12 take Caden Proctor. He's playing guard this year. Now, yeah, I do think they have the plan for him to become a tackle at some point, but then you have the Penn State guard, Iowane, at 14, going to Baltimore. Baltimore is known for being a really good draft team, like one of the more respected front offices in when
yeah,
it comes to
like
drafting and scouting.
DaCosta said he feels like the league's starting to copy him.
Yeah, exactly. And
yeah,
so they take a guard at 14. So I don't think it is going to be as much of a talking point moving forward of, oh my gosh, can you really take a guard that high?
Yeah.
Because, and I mean, even, I think Maui Noah, is it Maui Noah? I think he gets picked 10 to the Giants. I think he's playing guard.
He is.
At least in year one, we'll see if he moves out.
Yeah.
But like, it's extremely important. You go back to Brady all those years ago. Man, I can deal with pressure off the edge, but gosh dang it, that pressure up the middle is a beating. Well, then you need some guards to keep that pocket clean.
Yeah, I love it, and it's crazy how this arms race has affected the defensive line, and the search for guys that can handle them is really what it's all about, because you got to have some sort of an athletic freak to be able to go backwards and then stop and handle like a 270-pound guy who's exploding forward out of a four-point stance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's going forward the way a human body is built to. So you got to find a guy who can go backwards and then anchor and not get pushed over.
Yeah.
Like the level of athletic freakishness that's involved there, it actually makes me think of Everson Walls, who joined us at the Super Bowl talking about how he had the gift of being able to run backwards, you know?
Oh, yeah, that was his superpower.
He was one of the slower corners in the league running forwards, but running backwards, he was the fastest guy in the league, and that allowed him to see the game in ways that, you know, ultimately contributed to his unbelievable 13-interception season. But Tyler Booker was not even one of the 3 second-year guys Blogging the Boys is looking at. Dudes who should take a big year-two leap for this football team. Donovan Ezeraku had 16.5 sacks his senior year. This is the biggest opportunity, isn't it? Had the labrum surgery, going to miss a lot of the offseason. When he shows up in Oxnard, how much stronger is he? Is he going to be able to add some power to his repertoire? How many moves can he add in a year where he's coming back from a surgery? But his pressure rate was so good last year, Chief. I believe the improved coverage is going to get him home. I'm going to ride Ezeraku over under. Sacks in 2026, 7.5. You going over under?
Ooh, I like this. It's so tough. If he wasn't coming off the injury, I think I would feel amazing about the over on that, especially with Christian Parker putting him in position to succeed. It's kind of a coin flip for me.
Okay, how about Revel? Does he hold his starting spot for the year?
Okay, that's another big one. I mean, you would like to think, I mean, with the way that Broaddus and Walchuk and all these guys scouted him coming out and him being a first-round talent and then now being that far removed from the injury and having Christian Parker, whose expertise is the secondary, I think that Revel's going to be really good this year.
I think
he will at least be starting caliber good. He won't be losing his job.
Yeah.
Unless he is just totally short-circuited from all that's happened to him.
Yeah.
The confidence super low, the Eberflus stuff, and then the injury, whatever. But I think that Christian Parker and the new defense, I think he will be solid.
Sometimes the injury just doesn't come back close enough to 100%, and you're dealing with a lack of balance, a lack of strength, a lack of quick twitch in there that used to be there.
Yeah.
I assume that's coming back, you know, because the way that he played in college that made the scouts talk about him, he should be one of the more athletic and explosive guys, you know, capable of making a lot more plays than he showed last year. Then Trayshon Holden, the really Oxnard star last year out of Oregon. He's fun to watch. He's slow, but he goes up and snags that thing, and would not be surprised at all if Trayshon Holden finds a way to get active on a couple of game days coming up this season. Krusty's corner, Tommy Yarish, going to step in and tell you everything you need to know about this football team and the schedule coming up next in the nation.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.